Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Right of Reply. I'm Sean Lawrence, here with
Charlotte Bright,
and today we got a great show for you.
We'll be going over the ongoing situation in the Middle East,
the international origin of Halloween,
and Trump's ongoing indictment trials.
So be sure to stick around and enjoy the ride. Moving into our first topic, we're going to be discussing the international origin of Halloween. Now, we all love our resident holiday of the spooky season.
Absolutely.
But today we're going to be going over its history and see how some of its traditions came into play. See, if I were to ask you, where do you think Halloween originated, kind of geographically, where would you say?
I'd have to guess, based on just, you know, what I would consider the oldest Halloween stories, I'd guess maybe Dracula and, like, Romania.
Oh, I didn't even think of it. That's a good one. See, I would have thought, like, Salem Witch Trials is the type of place where it is. I think that's where we get our witches, but apparently it's not the actual origin of the festival. Now, apparently it dates over 2,000 years ago with a Celtic festival called Samhain. Now, the Celts were from a few different places, including northern France, Ireland, and a bit of the pesky UK.
I mean, as a Rangers soccer fan, I don't know how fond I am of the Celtics, but I'm definitely interested to hear how this kind of emerged and is now our modern-day Halloween.
Well, you may not like their soccer team, but you'll love their festival.
Yes.
So at this festival, they believed ghosts of the dead would return to Earth. Now, these ghosts would do normal ghost things, cause all their shenanigans and kerfuffles and so on, and damage crops. But apparently, their presence would also make it easier for druids and Celtic priests to predict the future.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
So, based on this belief, the Celtics would wear different costumes made of, like, animal skins and animal heads. And when they would go up to each other wearing these, they would try to tell each other their fortunes, and believed because they were wearing them and they had the spirits of the dead animals around, they could tell the fortune of the other person.
I mean, I would be a little freaked out if someone came up to me dressed in full pigskin and predicted my future.
Oh, that's going to be my opening at parties. I'm just going to start walking up to people and just, hey, my costume says you're going to die tomorrow.
That would definitely be an opener, especially.
I may be kicked out of that party.
I don't know. I don't know if stages before would love that costume idea, but let's hear about how
but
this
apparently
is today.
This was not the end of the story.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, now that we see it had its origins in Celtic history, I mean, as we all know, history has evolved and there's been conquering and overthrowing and stuff like that. And one of the most famous are the Romans. So,
oh, they manifested some destiny, all right.
Yeah, they definitely conquered what they could, and that included the majority of Celtic territory.
Okay.
So during this time, the Romans had Celtic territory and they had more traditions that they wanted to add to this Samhain Celtic festival. They had 2 days in particular. So the first was Feralia, and this was a day in October when Romans commemorated their dead. So as we all know, you know, lots of different cultures celebrate their dead, and like there's Mexican Day of the Dead, for example.
Of course.
Yeah, and then they also combined it with another day called Pomona, which is to celebrate the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. So this kind of aspect of what is current day Halloween used the symbol for Pomona, which was an apple, to inspire the current tradition of bobbing for apples that we do every fall.
That's interesting origin. I bet she scared all the doctors away.
Definitely had more than one apple a day, I'd say, yeah.
Now, again, this is not the end of the story. So after the Romans were kind of spread out, Christianity moved into the Celtic region. And now, the Christians weren't in favor of using other people's holidays, and they tended to like their own. So they removed their normal Samhain Day of the Dead and brought in their own Souls Day on November 2nd.
Oh, okay, a little later.
Yes, not quite October 30th, but we're getting
31st.
There. 31st. Well, we're recording this on October 30th. I'm just getting a little confused. But anyways, over the years, many different cultures emerged, and Christianity was not the end-all be-all. And as more cultures emerged celebrating this and people emigrated and we became more of a globalized society, the culture moved to October 30th and became what we know it is now. 31st! Oh, I've messed up again.
Well, yeah, so this holiday definitely did morph. And, I mean, what we know and love today, Halloween, still has this element of dressing up in costumes.
And bobbing for apples.
Bobbing for apples, trick-or-treating. Maybe the trick is coming from
It's tricking me that it's on October 30th and not October 31st.
Predicting someone else's future is maybe the trick that they used back in Samhain days. But it's definitely really interesting about the origins of Halloween. And hopefully we can have a happy and healthy Halloween tomorrow.
Everybody enjoy yourselves. Not too much, though.
Next up, we'll be diving deep into the multiple indictment trials that former President Donald Trump is currently facing. But first, let's break down the facts. Like, what is the latest? What should you know?
What is happening with Mr. Donald?
Well, on August 11th, 2023, former President Donald Trump faced his fourth indictment trial, or fourth indictment, since March.
That is a lot of indictments.
This time, it was by a Georgia grand jury. These charges are centered around alleged interference into the 2020 presidential election. And while it may be 3 years ago, I think we all remember the seemingly never-ending controversy that surrounded Biden's 2020
win. Well, it is important to remember that this is not officially over. The United States has just elected a new Speaker of the House who is a election denier. Fun fact.
See, it's ongoing, ever-present. Mm-hmm. So this was largely incited by Republican officials and voters at the time, and in the aftermath of the election, this Georgia indictment has comprised a staggering 13 counts of election interference. So these have detailed meticulously multiple actions taken by Trump and his associates to overturn his defeat in Georgia. So briefly, just to kind of narrow it down, some of these actions that he's accused of are urging Georgia's Republican secretary to find more votes.
They were hiding.
Yeah, just to find more votes. And this was captured in recorded phone call. Also, Trump and his associates have been alleged to have tried to replace the chosen electors in Georgia with individuals who would cast their votes in favor of Trump, which is effectively bypassing the fair outcome of the election in Georgia and ensuring that electoral votes went to him specifically instead of the candidates that were actually chosen by the voters.
Fair enough. That it seems not really going well for the former president of the United States here. These indictment trials seem fairly serious.
Yeah,
do you think any of them are going to stick?
Well, I mean, if this wasn't bad enough, beyond this Georgia indictment, Trump is facing charges related to this role of election interference in Washington as well. So he's pleaded not guilty to the Washington 4 charges as well as the Georgia indictment. And some of these charges in Georgia include conspiracy to defraud the United States and also the obstruction of like official government proceedings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I've heard that he's been indicted for all those things. What's the one with Stormy Daniels? I've heard there's a different trial for that.
So that one is more of a civil lawsuit.
Okay.
Being accused for hush money.
Well, I feel like that kind of just takes away from the severity of the charges, trying to go after him for lesser things. I heard they were also going after him for tax write-off or tax.
He's currently has four major trials.
Oh my lord.
Either ongoing or a trial date has been set. And I mean, this episode we're focusing mostly on the electoral interference.
The big stuff. Yeah.
Because I mean, we all hopefully were aware at the time in 2020 of how non-peaceful of a transition it was from leader to leader.
Some peaceful protesters gathered around inside the Capitol and no one barged in. It was fine.
Yeah, it was and still is a high point of contention. So
so where are we now, though? What's going on currently?
Well, currently, so this day of recording, October 30th, 2023, what we know about the electoral interference case is that a trial date has been set for March 4th, 2024. So going into next year already. And interestingly enough, this date that's been chosen is highly controversial because it does not align with Trump's preferred timeline given the upcoming 2024.
Yeah, he's still running for president currently. Yeah, and it looks like he's ahead in the GOP primary.
Mm-hmm, especially since Super Tuesday is March 5th. So the day after, this is a massive day for primaries.
It'd be interesting to see how this trial affects his polling numbers, because I have read that every time he's been indicted, his numbers within his own fan base have only been going up.
Well, it's definitely hasn't gone over well in the Trump arena.
I think it is more viewed of like the establishment trying to put him down and mm-hmm. silence him in comparison to actually a criminal charges for trying to overthrow an election.
Yeah, that's why even the selection of a date was highly political and really covered in large, because it does fall the day before the Super Tuesday, like crucial voting days for many states. Wow. And could impact the 2024 election.
Yes, and even currently, without any of this going on and before Super Tuesday, he does have a commanding lead in the GOP polls. I think he's polling something like 47, maybe 57, definitely at least 10 points higher than his number two, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I mean, even with his success currently, or like polling success, his reaction to not only the trial, but the trial date has been anything but subtle. As we can predict, but based on previous personality outbursts,
he's a stable and reasonable man. I hear it.
I mean, I don't know about currently with his vocal criticism of the judge and special counsel, but both on social media and in public speeches, he's been very adamant that this is all a witch hunt against him as a former president, but also just that it attacks him as like a figure in public eye.
Yes, again, going back to the rhetoric that they're trying to silence him and to keep him away from the media and telling the people the truth.
Yeah, and this drama is not ending just in the courtroom, which is sealed off from media, mm-hmm. but recent articles have come out about his, like, Trump's team itself having internal conflicts, trying to mitigate his behavior.
Yes. Well, I've also heard that they've been arresting and charging a lot of his lackeys recently. Sidney Powell, being a very famous, his previous lawyer, was recently charged.
Yeah, everyone around him is either trying to distance themselves or trying to reiterate their support. So come what is predicted to be his selection as GOP nominee, mm-hmm. they're like in his good graces type thing. So,
well, I think the question to ask is, he gets elected GOP, he runs for president. Do you think he could win? If he gets like arrested, he's put in a cell or he's put in on house arrest, can he win the presidential campaign from jail or house arrest?
I mean, the discussions at this point are almost like dystopian about how can a former president like be so seemingly successful in the public eye while facing so much legal like attacks on his character. Well, mm-hmm. what he deems as attacks on character, some would deem it just justice doing its role. But yeah, I mean, one thing I found really interesting when researching this was what they're considering a trial within a trial, is that Trump's behavior both in court and with his team is swaying public opinion surrounding it, and it's like adding even more layers to this indictment story, because like even recently, for example, Trump was called to the witness box in a trial and he was accused of threatening a court clerk. Mm-hmm. So these outbursts that we've seen throughout media, like his entire presidency, obviously this was not the first time that we've heard of such an outburst, but when it's in such an official like judicial setting,
you have to take it with more severity.
You're given fines, you're given like could even be harsher punishments.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, in even in his White House years, like we definitely saw he had a dramatic flair, but
I've seen some of his insults. My favorite one is, the problem with Ron DeSanctimonious is he needs a personality transplant.
Those are not yet available.
I mean, and I think if he'd just gone into comedy, he would have done fantastic.
There's so many what-ifs in this story, but as the court proceedings proceed, as if you will, his lawyers are like protesting this seemingly attack or witch hunt attack on him, and they're mm-hmm. demanding for the case to be like either thrown out or like done more rapidly to be completed in time for his primaries.
Well, that's very interesting, and we will try to keep you, the viewer, updated on this international situation.
Now, in most Reddit Reply episodes, we like to give our opinion on what we think of the subject at hand and come at it with our own unique views. However, given the nature and sensitivity of the situation and the catastrophic civilian toll, we will do our best today to strictly report on what is happening.
To start, on October 7th, Hamas, a militant group from Palestine, launched a surprise military invasion, which included thousands of fighters breaching the Israeli border by foot and water, along with a large-scale missile attack that took Israel by surprise and claimed over 1,000 lives, seven of whom Canadian. In addition, 230 hostages were taken.
In the 3 weeks since, the response from Israel has been heavy-handed and in their retaliation operation to eradicate Hamas. The IDF has launched a carpet bombing campaign throughout Gaza and is currently preparing for a ground invasion of the northern terrain. This retaliation against Hamas is taking an extraordinary toll on the citizens of Gaza. At this time of recording, approximately 8,000 Palestinians have been killed. In addition, civilians are rapidly running out of food and resources with virtually no aid permitted by Israeli border control.
The situation for the citizens is further worsened by the fact Egypt has closed its border with Palestine and is refusing refugees trying to escape the conflict. There's also been several United Nations attempt to corroborate a ceasefire bill with no success. Overall, the situation and the loss of life on both sides is a collective loss for humanity, and we hope for the safety of all civilians.